today, I want to speak on the subject, love and justice. This is a difficult message. I wrestled with it all week. And I'm just going to ask for a special unction so I can function today, that God can speak His word through this message. Let me again say good morning, everyone. I am a shepherd from Brunswick, Georgia, the place where 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery was ambushed and murdered while jogging. God sent me here to give you this message. Put on your seatbelt. It simply says, God says, I hate your worship services. I despise everything above them, your music, your offerings, your prayers. They make me sick. If you don't start getting justice flowing like a river and righteousness going like a mighty stream, then it's going to be a bad situation for you. By the way, my name's Amos. Today, love and justice. Just so that you will know they go together. You can't have love without justice. And you can't have justice without love. If God were to administer justice to us without love, none of us would be alive today. They go together. And so here are the words from this prophet. They call him a minor prophet, not because his words are meaningless, but because he did not write with a great volume such as Isaiah. But his words are just as profound, meaningful, and appropriate for today. And Amos 5, 21 through 24 says, and I want to thank also the Parker young man for doing our scripture today. Thank you so much, young man from the Parker family. I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring me choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. This is kind of harsh. This is what God is saying. Why would God be so harsh to his worshipers? It's a real interesting question. Why would he do this? Well, it's amazing that the words of Amos was used by Dr. King to awaken the consciousness of a sleeping church to the racial injustices of this nation. The church has a history of carrying on with worship as usual while injustice reigns supreme. The church is simply saying, why should I get involved? And again, the question is, why should God speak to us this way? First of all, before some theologian accuses me of not doing justice to the text, it is important to understand that a text would have a primary application, and then it can be used in a secondary application. Back then, Amos was a prophet from the southern kingdom, Judah. He was called by God to go to the northern kingdom, Israel, to deliver this message. Israel is prosperous. They lack nothing. They are doing all the right things. They are obeying the law and worshiping God. They are observing the festivals, bringing offerings and making beautiful music. But then God says to us, there are three things in this message I'd like to share with us today. The first one, in answer to the question as to why God said those harsh words, we first look at the cause. What was happening back then? Why did God send Amos to deliver this message? Number one, Amos 5:10 tells us, there are those who hate the one who upholds justice in the court and detest the one who tells the truth. In other words, the picture you should have in your mind is that at the time, Israel was behaving somewhat similar to what we have today, where truth is not something people want. They would prefer to have lies. And this is what Amos says. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Let me just stop for a moment. You notice that I emboldened the word bribes. Well, a few years ago, some friends and I, we went to Panama, and we had a rented vehicle. And when we brought it back, trying to return it to the rental company, they were telling us they were missing a jack from the vehicle. They had a lot of damages to that vehicle. We had no damage. And we went back to our hotel that night, or Airbnb, and we thought about it. Maybe the next day we go back to the rental place, let's just get a little something, something. And so my friend and I, he had a little $20. He had 10, I had 10. We had the two vehicles. We took them back and we just shook the guy's hand, put the $10 each in the hand, and guess what? The vehicle was cleared. It had no problem. Now we say that's a bribe. And we tend to think of bribes when we think of third world countries. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think we have bribery in the United States of America? Well, I was looking up this thing in Wikipedia, talking about this word we have called lobbying. Lobbying in the United States describes paid activity in which special interests hire well-connected professional advocates, often lawyers, to argue for specific legislation in decision-making bodies such as the United States Congress. They don't take bribes, but if you have money, you can lobby Congress. You want to know how laws are passed? Let's take, for example, the credit reporting agency, Equifax, in 2016 and 17, gave thousands of dollars to the campaign of a GOP representative who in turn advanced legislation to roll back consumer protections and limit damage awards. In other words, this person got money. We don't call it bribes, we call it lobbying. And this individual lobbied Congress and got laws passed so that if Equifax messed you up and you sued them, your damages would be severely curtailed. In 2018, total lobbying spending in the U.S. averages $3.47 billion every year. Since 1998, they've been keeping tab. That's a lot of money. Do you know what is $1 billion? What it says is that if you're poor, you can't come to it. With a system like this, the poor is left out. The question is, and this is a question for us today, who will speak for the poor if not the church? Who speaks for the poor if not the church? It doesn't get any clearer than this. God's idea of justice is the proper treatment of the poor and the needy. One can say, God is here talking politics. Yes, the word we don't like. But check it out. Once we're dealing with people who are being governed in a civil society, we're dealing with politics. He's telling them that a system that works to keep the poor poor and allows the rich and powerful to become more rich and powerful at the expense of the poor, it is an unjust and an unrighteous system. The Pew Research gave us some information. Number one, income equality in the United States is the highest of all G7 nations. Number two, the wealth gap between America's richest and poorer families more than doubled from 1989 to 2006. And number three, the highest earning 20% of families made more than half of all U.S. income in 2018. That is saying, if you are poor, you can't come to the courts. You can't get justice. Well, we were all sad when we saw what happened to this young man, Ahmaud Arbery. And I went looking to see what the church said. I Googled and I Googled, and I could only find a handful of individuals, ministers. Sadly, I gotta keep it real. I looked for my church also, and I couldn't find anything. And here is something I found, and I'm gonna take my time to read it. The extrajudicial killings of young black men in America are not new. But because of technology, there is more proof of these actions. The racial profiling of black and brown bodies and innocent victims of racist attacks continues to plague this nation. We grieve for Freddie Gray, Philando Castile, Eric Garner, Mike Brown, and the many known and unknown victims of these attacks. This was written by Bishop Kevin L. Strickland from the Southeastern Synod Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Here is a church that is willing to say something when they see injustice. The African Descent Lutheran Association Southeastern chapter therefore calls for the immediate action to convene the appropriate oversight of the Department of Justice. We also call for the passage of House Bill 426 that Georgians may be protected by a hate crime statute enforceable by state and local law enforcement and upheld in the state and local courts. There are four states that have no hate crime. Georgia is one of them. Arkansas is one of them. South Carolina is one of them. And Wyoming is another. They're saying someone can kill you just because of the color of your skin, and there will be no prosecution for that. Well, we live in a time where people are doing things, and I'm not going to take the time to mention the name of the father and son who did the killings. They were not there when Cassandra Bland was killed. They were not there when Philando Castile was gunned down. He had a permit to carry a weapon. Where was the NRA protecting his rights? They were silent because, you see, he was black. But I'm not going to mention these people because the individuals doing the killing, they're not the problems. The problem is we are living in a climate and a culture when it's okay to do things and expect no punishment. I think we call it white privilege. Let me ask you, do you know what white privilege looks like? And please don't say to me, not all white people or not all black people. We're not talking all anybody. But just imagine this, for those of our viewers who are not familiar with the state of Michigan, where I live, we do have a stay-at-home order from the governor. What that means is that unless we have an essential duty, we should not be out of our homes. And they're listed why you should go to work. The stay-at-home order also comes with a 6 feet separation between people. Here you have, at the state capitol, people in front of the police without masks, and they're not 6 feet apart. Now, my question is this. What do you think would have happened if this were Black Lives Matter? Do you think they would have left the state capitol without being arrested, without being handcuffed, without being prosecuted? I am telling you, the church needs to cry out when it sees injustices. Here are people saying, we need the freedom to go to work, and they need the freedom to protest. I call it white privilege. It wasn't so long ago, a football player, Colin Kaepernick, all he did in protest was to take a knee. I would imagine these were the very people that would have denounced him for protesting the extrajudicial killings of young African Americans. White privilege is alive and well. When the church is silent in the face of injustice, silence is tantamount to complicity. And if you want to know where Jesus stands on this, let me tell you. Luke 4:1, Jesus, full of the Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. For you Bible students, you will recall that he was there and he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Luke 4:14 says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Then we are told, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Amos is talking about the way the poor was treated back in Israel. And God sent him with a message saying, Amos, go tell the worshipers, I am not willing to listen to their service as long as injustices have been done. Yeah. There is something about the Jesus situation. And I wonder, is it possible that we're not able to speak and be like Jesus because we lack something? Luke 4:1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Luke 14 says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And Luke 4, 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. It's a message I am getting. It seems to suggest that just maybe the reason we are silent, it is because we are lacking the Spirit. Because if we are full of the Spirit, we'll do what Jesus says. It anointed him to remove oppression. The cause. Now, let's go to point number two. Jesus told them why. God said through Amos why he was so harsh. Because of what you were doing to the poor. There was no justice. Now, what would be the curse? The cause, the curse. What is the curse? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Therefore, read with me while you're at home. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. God says, when you are not doing right in terms of justice, you can have the greatest worship. I am not going to allow you to enjoy the things you built with your hands and the vineyards you may have planted. I'm just going to blow on it so that you can't get what you need from it. It seems to me that God wants us to appreciate that it is not okay for us simply to come enjoy worship while oppressed and poor people are suffering. Our silence, again, I say, is complicity. God is saying, somebody needs to stand up. And in case someone thinks I'm being too political, I have no apologies for it. No apologies at all. The reason being is because I am glad that Dr. King was political. Do you know why? If he were not, this Negro would have still been right in the back of the bus. I'm glad that he was political so that he can speak towards the issues of segregation. He can speak towards low wages and poverty. So the church should not sit in its wonderful building and become aloof to what's happening. God says his cause for speaking harshly is because the way we treat the poor. And the curse would be he's not going to bless the hands of our work or the work of our hands. He's not going to do it. That is the God we serve. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord said thus, wailing shall be in the streets. Part of the curse is that we're going to feel some pain. And I'm not going to talk about COVID-19 coming from God. I'm refraining myself from that. I'm simply going to say, as a body, God expects us to speak when wrongs are done. And I know there's some apologists saying, well, we should wait for the trial. Really? Are you talking to me this morning? There was a trial after Trayvon Martin was shot. I don't know which planet you live on, but I do know this. When Mr. Zimmerman called the police and they told him this, these were the words, stand down. And he strapped up and got out there. He can't say, this young man, I was fearful for my life, and so I had to shoot him. I had to stand my ground. Where was Trayvon's ground? And a jury heard the recordings of George Zimmerman and the police. And they distinctly heard, and they asked for that to be replayed 3 times. In other words, they wanted to hear where the police said, stand down. And I'm telling you, I don't understand if the police told a non-police to stay home and he goes out and kills somebody, how he could be found not guilty. I don't have any hope in our justice system. What I do know is that we should cry aloud and spare not. Make it in such a way that people don't believe that they can do things and get away with it. In other words, the church has a responsibility to change the climate and the culture that causes young men to lose their lives needlessly. So we had the cause. We had the curse. Now there is a cure. I am thankful how God speaks. He sends Amos, and he says to Amos, tell them their worship is like a stench to me. I don't care for their harps and their playing and the music and the offerings and the festivals. I don't care for it. And my reason is because they are not treating the poor well. They have injustices and they're having fun. And I'm going to curse their land. And the houses they build, they're not going to be able to inhabit them. But there is a cure. There is something they can do so that God can deal with them correctly. What is the cure? Seek good, not evil, that ye may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you just as you say he is. Hate evil. Love good. Maintain with everybody justice in the courts. These are not my words. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. And God says, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never failing stream. Amos was writing in the context of the Wadi Desert. It was dry. And sometimes when it rained, there was a little water coming in. And what God wanted to say through Amos, I am not talking about a little justice here and a little justice there. I'm speaking about justice flowing like a river. In other words, the church must not be silent. Cannot be complicit. It is kind of sad that in the killing of this young man, Ahmaud Arbery is taking celebrities who don't claim any religious persuasion to lead the chant. The church needs to lead. When we start seeing the divine, when we can bring ourselves to see God in people who don't look like us or think like us, instead of building walls and cages, we will be building bridges and opening doors. That's where we'll be. Because this is what God says. For inasmuch as he have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. When we cry aloud and spare not, we are following in the footsteps of God through Amos. When the church remains silent and says nothing in the presence of injustice, then our worship services become meaningless and God hates it. God's love is justice. If we say we love, we have to ask for justice. And when we ask for justice, it must be mingled with love. I must tell you, I have been on a journey and I had to talk to God. Because when I first heard the story of the ambushing and killing of this young man, I had a lot of anger. I have to keep it real with you. I had the kind of anger that said, if this young man were my son, I may have made a trip to Georgia, and God knows there's no telling what would have happened. That's how angry I was. But my anger is no longer to these individuals. It's not the father and his son. Let justice go for them. My anger is not even towards the culture in which we live that sits by and says nothing. The church is the last to say anything. We don't want to bring persecution on ourselves. That's what we say. So we say nothing. We close our eyes and stop our ears while all around us we see things happening that should not be happening. What is my anger about today? It's about our silence. And God doesn't want us to be silent. What God is saying to us, look at the cause as to why he became angry. He said he's angry because we've done nothing. He's not angry because we're worshiping. He's not angry because we bring in our offerings and we're singing great songs. He's angry because we are standing by doing nothing. And he says, if you continue it, you will be cursed. What is the curse? He can't bless what we want to do. He can't bless the work of our hands. God wants to bless us. What does God want us to do? He wants us to apply the cure, and that is to seek justice. Do that which is right. Love and justice go together. God doesn't want us on the sidelines. Let us as individuals write your senator, write your council person, get together with people, and let us get this culture changed. Let us not pretend that we're living in a place where one group has privileges that the other does not have. Let us honor what God has in store for us. That's why he says, cry aloud and spare not. May God help us to embody love and justice. May God help us to do our part, not to just come, sing, and pray and praise, but to do what we can to change the culture in which we live. Even as I bring this message to close, take some time. Read what about the genocide that's going on in Syria. No news. Thousands are being killed, indiscriminately bombed by people with whom we are allied, the Russians. And we can invite them to the White House and have dinner and tea. And yet these atrocities continue. My brothers and sisters, God says, he don't want to despise our worship, but he wants us to understand why he tells us he despises it. He doesn't want to curse us, but he wants us to understand that behaviors have consequences. God wants us to appreciate the cure, and the cure is to seek God. Father in heaven, today we mourn with those who are in pain. Remind us that it's not just a color thing. It's a people thing. Remind us that this young man could not have celebrated his birthday on May 6th because someone decided that they would operate like the police and apprehend him. It was sad to hear somebody say, if only he had froze when he was told to, he would not have been dead. As if to say, those who apprehended him had the right to. Father, we just pray for this nation. We pray for the church. May we at this time not see ourselves as different denominations, but collectively, may we recognize that we reflect and represent God. And God doesn't want us to be silent in a world that has gone mad. Take full control of your children today. Give us the courage we need. And may we stand always, always, Father, ready to do your bidding. And when you speak to us harshly, may we be penitent. May we take your words as love mingled with justice. Thank you, Father. Now watch over your children, we pray. In Jesus' name, let all the saints say, Amen.